Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the pleasure of being joined by Vitaly Golem, who is investor and global startup evangelist at HP Tech Ventures. Hi, Vitaly.
Hey, Andrew, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks very much for joining us. So today, can you give us a brief introduction to yourself on that, please?
Sure. So I was born in Ukraine. My parents brought me to Silicon Valley at an early age of eight. Grew up around technology, went to the same high school as Steve Jobs and Wozniak. Been messing around with startups probably since my early teenage years, one way or another. And went through a few of my own companies for about 15 years, ran a design firm, a printing company before that, then a venture-backed SaaS company, and went to the dark side and joined HP to couldn't keep away from the Silicon Valley's original startup, so to say, and we launched the corporate venture arm about a year ago.
Great. And could you describe what HP is into now as the parent organization? I'm sure that's changed over the years from what some of us might think HP is. How would you describe HP now?
Sure. Well, yeah, the biggest change is that the company split in two about a year and a half ago, November of 2015. So now there's HP Inc., which is us, which we call the blue circle, and then there's the green rectangle, Hewlett Packard Enterprise. And these are two separate companies, two separate management teams, tickers, strategies, completely separate, just a similar name. HP Inc. these days has three primary business units. That is Personal Computing Group. We are number one in PCs, took over the mantle from Lenovo about a quarter ago. We have the printing unit, which both for consumer and commercial, we are top in the world. And we have a new business unit, 3D printing. So it was formed a couple of years ago and announced the first product about a year ago and started shipping in November of last year, which kind of focused on commercial 3D printing.
Excellent. Great. And the HP printing, we've got a mutual friend, I think, in Sridhar Sola, who was one of my original interviews back in 2010, how HP developed the sort of e-print technology, which I'm a great fan of using on my HP printer.
Yeah, Sri is a dear friend and probably a big reason that I'm at HP, even though we kind of high-fived after 20 years. He actually moved on to Comcast, where he leads their product group.
Yeah, I'll repost that interview that I did with him because I think it's sort of inspirational how that was done sort of within HP. So could you give us a brief introduction then to HP Tech Ventures and, its structure and size, et cetera?
Sure. So we're the corporate venture arm of HP Inc. We operate within the CTO office. So the way the company is organized is there are the three business units that I mentioned as far as products. There are three regional business units that are responsible for sales. So we have the Americas, we have EMEA, and we have Asia Pacific. And then in the middle of all that, we have the CTO office where we are adjacent to HP Labs, the legendary HP Labs. We sit at the HQ in Palo Alto on Page Mill Road. We have a team of six people headquartered in Palo Alto. We have one person working remotely on the East Coast, and we have a person also responsible for Israel, in Tel Aviv. That's a major area for us. So that's the organization. We invest from the balance sheet of the company, which has its challenges, as many of your listeners probably know. But we're just getting started.
And rough indication of sort of size or number of deals or sorts of things that you're planning to do. Can you give us a bit of insight into the sort of scale?
Yeah, so we just got started about a year ago. We've done a handful of deals already. We're definitely not in the, Comcast or Intel Capital kind of territory yet. We'll probably do, I don't know, half a dozen deals this year. Our typical deals are 1 to 10 million. Our sweet spot is Series A, Series B. We'll co-invest with top-tier financial investors. And we'll go up to half of the round. But because we're investing from the balance sheet, there are all sorts of consolidation rules and things to deal with on the accounting side, we tend to let the institutional investors lead.
Good. Okay. And what are the sort of key technologies and new business model opportunities you're looking for investing and partnering in?
Sure. So we're certainly operating the mode of business unit sponsorship. That means that every deal we do is sponsored by one or another organization within the product groups, usually. And that means that we're investing kind of within the strategy and within the context of HP, you know, currently where we're at or in the near future. So our interest areas are certainly 3D printing, the immersive category, so VR, AR, et cetera. And this could be hardware and software. We are very big in education, so anything related to that, especially things like adaptive learning these days. We operate a pretty big healthcare business as well and growing, so anything related to that. We're interested in life sciences. We're certainly interested in core technology, things like batteries, screens, new sensors, things like that. So those are our areas at the moment.
And in terms of this challenge of being driven by the business unit, I recently wrote a piece where I sort of said, well, look, this is actually more tactical than strategic and further out. Do you find that tension between the just delivering what the current business wants, where there might be more strategic further out things that you see?
You know, it's really an impedance mismatch, right, if we talk to electronic terms. They operate on a quarterly basis. They have a certain reality. Things tend to move pretty slow, as large companies do, but when they move, they're pretty large scale. Whereas with the startups, a couple of weeks is a lifetime. So it's very important to try to connect these things together and make sure that we can get into the good deals because they close in a month, right? So in a lot of cases, we need to get to know the companies much, much earlier. To get it through the gauntlet and make sure that everybody gets a chance to talk to them and provide us feedback within the company.
Great. Good point there on making sure you get alignment. So you touched on the people and that within the team. What's the sort of mix in terms of their skill sets and their experience?
Well, it's a pretty experienced team. Folks have been in the company for quite a few years, I think between something like a couple of years and 30 on the team. So seen a lot of different things from the corporate perspective, primarily. My background is quite different. So I'm kind of the outside irritant brought in. My experience is entrepreneurial and, dealing with a number of accelerators as a mentor, as a trainer over the years. So much kind of earlier stage and more developed filters. So we work well together. You know, I would be lost navigating the corporate side of things without our liaisons on the business unit side. So it works well, I would say, from that perspective.
So in terms of how you do the liaison with the other parts of the business, well, we can touch on that now in terms of when you've seen an interesting business and you've invested in it, how do you then connect those with the core business?
Yeah, so on my team, I have counterparts who have kind of constant communication with the various business units, and we have kind of different areas that they're responsible for, different business units that they are connected to, and they meet with regularly. So when I meet a company, let's say at some conference or get introduced through a mutual contact VC, first thing I'll do is I'll share it with the proper liaison to get it to the business unit to get the feedback as soon as possible and see if it's a match for something that we want to take further. So that's generally the pace, and hopefully we get feedback, within a few days or a week, depending on what's going on and where people are physically in the world.
Mm-hmm. And then when you've made the investment, the liaison with them to make sure that these solutions are proven or implemented.
Yeah, so it then falls really to the business unit. So we offer it up, and the business unit would then structure the commercial agreement alongside any potential investment. And it could be a partnership, before we do an investment as well, similar process.
Oh, okay.
But then it's really up to the business unit to maintain that part of it. Whereas from the investment management side, we take a look at, get the quarterly financials, work with the company, the board duties and all of those things, very similar to what a institutional investor would do.
And your roles on those, in those startups, do you take board seats or just observers, or are you flexible?
You start getting into the weeds a little bit, when you look at, some of the legal ramifications here. So we tend to take observer seats. When you're an observer, your fiduciary duty does not switch legally. She's a portfolio company, right? So if we're investing from the balance sheet of the company, we are employees of the mothership. Our fiduciary duty is squarely with that company. So that means is, if you take a board seat with a portfolio company, your fiduciary duty is it's the best split. And there are certain things that you have to watch out for the portfolio company, legally even. Yeah. So to kind of make sure that we don't get in trouble and there's no contamination in that sense, we take observer seats. And that also means that, we firewall a lot of the information from the business units. Regardless, right? So there's a certain trust within the startups that we don't talk about certain things. We let the business unit talk about the commercial side of things, but anything on the investment side might be much more sensitive. And those things we try to keep private.
Excellent. Now, I think it's a good description there, because certainly I see it when I work with corporates through the academy or with corporates I'm advising. It seems to come as a surprise to many people who come into corporate venturing that these fiduciary duties and personal liability and the implications and that for the organization, they don't understand from that perspective, and also then the need that the startup wants that commitment from the individual really to help the growth of that business, not just be looking for their corporate parent. That's an important message.
That's right, and I would highly advise that everybody talks to their counsel inside the company, and you have outside counsel as well that's very experienced on the venture end. A lot of times, in-house counsel is not that experienced, obviously, with the startup world. It's a pretty specialized area. So we're fortunate to have pretty experienced counsel, but regardless, we still have outside counsel as well.
Yeah, great point. So how do you measure your financial and strategic performance as HP Tech Ventures in what you're delivering?
Well, it's a company like HP that does about $1 billion revenue a week. It's really, the financial returns don't move the needle much, and they're kind of secondary, to be quite honest. The primary concern is that, something that we're getting into, we're getting insights a couple of years down the road with these companies. And what that means, it informs our strategy, not to compete with the companies, but it generally informs our strategy in that category. And if we're active there, that could be a very, very big deal. So when HP, any company, I would say the size of HP, goes into a new business, for example, like we did with 3D printing, it's a multi-billion dollar game for us, right? So if we invest around the ecosystem in 3D printing, and we gain, a couple of points advantage here and there, it starts adding up pretty quick. So that's what we really look for, I would say. Mm-hmm. And, the financial returns, we certainly want the company to be investment grade, right? Financial VCs are not touching it, we certainly won't either, right?
Yeah.
Almost as a rule, we'll co-invest with top tiers, first, second tier investors and companies. And if they're not able to raise money from just financial investors, we'll think twice, thrice, et cetera. So that's a good discipline to have, very important. And one area that's important to kind of avoid that a lot of business units, a lot of your listeners will find is that they'll refer things, they're trying to do a partnership with a company, and it might be an important component to some roadmap that they have, and they want to make sure that the company stays in business. That is probably the worst reason to invest in a startup.
Yes.
To keep them alive for us to partner with them, right? It's essentially the NRE should cover that concern. If it's really a concern and if it's really that critical and the company's not stable, that might be a great opportunity to acquire it instead of investing it.
Yeah.
So don't throw good money after bad. And, this is a trick that a lot of business units will play, and they want, the insurance and the funding of that project to come from somebody else's balance sheet.
Yeah.
So don't play that game.
Yeah. I think the best line I've heard in this respect is you don't stay strategic for long if you don't make a financial return, is the line that also sort of covers that part. So Pidana,
right.
Can you give us an example of a particular investment or partnership you've done to talk us through that?
Yeah, so I can talk about recent investments we've made that I sponsored. It was actually an LP investment in a seed fund called the VR Fund. Great guys. They're leading funds on kind of immersive category, VR, AR, etc. They operate globally out of Silicon Valley. great syndicate of other LPs, including some corporates, some big corporates. I think they just announced Yahoo Japan today. And what that means for us is that we get some of the best minds, and we see a couple of years down the road in this category, which has become very important for HP since we announced a whole new gaming line last year. We announced our headset that should be coming very soon here as well. So we're getting heavy in that category. So investing in a seed fund like that allowed us to put in a relatively small commitment, but it gives us a relationship with all the portfolio companies, which will probably number in a couple of dozen by the time they're done, probably maybe 30. And that means that we get to know the companies over time. They see HP as a great partner. As they're developing at seed stages, they choose, let's say, to kit HP equipment versus somebody else with what they're offering. We get to get some insights and build a relationship with them over time. And then perhaps in the next round, we invest directly in these companies or co-invest with the fund. So that's kind of strategy. So our strategy really is threefold. There's a lot of different things that corporate venture units and innovation teams and companies can do. What we've chosen to do is kind of threefold. We're doing direct investments from Series A and B. We're doing seed investments via LPing in very vertically focused seed funds. And then we also do a lot of ecosystem support, and it's kind of a little bit of more of a marketing function. And this is how I travel, you know, why I travel to so many conferences each year to speak these days is to kind of make sure everybody knows about us. We show support for the specific categories that are interesting to us via big events, sponsorships, all sorts of other activities.
Excellent. Vitaly, that's an excellent overview. Thanks very much about you, HP, and HP Tech Ventures. In terms of what do you manage to do when you're to relax when you're not venturing?
Well, you know, I'm a professional airline passenger these days. So I try to get as much sleep as I can on the plane. But I did just write a book, and it came out in March. That was a 2-year project, so it started well before I joined HP. It's called Accelerated Startup. Dave McClure wrote the foreword on it. Had a couple of guest chapters, one from Shree, our mutual friend, who's now at Comcast, and John Biggs, who's one of the stars at TechCrunch, is also a good friend.
Yeah.
So doing a lot of that. Not a whole lot of time for downtime at the moment, but as much as possible, try to spend time with my kids on the weekends and, you know, kind of unwind a little bit that way as well.
Very good, very good. Yeah, well, I've got your book in front of me, and I've been using it as a guide to some of the startups that I'm doing myself and I'm working with. So I would recommend that. And I'm going through the birth pains of writing a book in that myself as well. So that's on my left hand, and yours is on my right hand. So
all right,
great. Right, Vitaly, I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.